a tyrannical dictatorship, and that's how they've been. They initially started running this operation. So I can tell you exact date when they started running this operation. By they, I mean, so the person who kind of pulled the trigger on the DoD side, his name is Colonel Matthew Hepburn. He was at DARPA at the time, or Defense Advanced Research something. So it's like a
Agency defense,
the agency, yeah. So he was at DARPA at the time.
Just a brief interruption to the program to talk to you about peptides. I'm working with Dr. Diane Kayser to bring you guys peptides. I'll have a link below, so if you have any questions on any of this, you can join her tribe for $1 and get all your questions answered. But I have some exciting ones to bring to you. I'm using them too. I have this anti-aging one that works wonders on helping the cell generation and building up your collagen. And then I have the retatrutide, if I pronounce that right. The retatrutide has shown in studies, I mean, it's amazing. In 36 weeks, in human trials, have shown an average of 24% reduction in body weight. Incredible. And then I have another one, SLUPP-332. That one you can get in capsules. I call it the moron proof because you can get it in capsules. You don't have to inject yourself. It's not nasal spray. But that one is making in the bodybuilding industry is just game changer because in mice, in the trials, it showed a 12% reduction in body weight in 4 weeks. It mimics exercise. They're seeing 70% greater endurance. I mean, it's just incredible. It's taking that industry by storm, and you can get it in capsules. And I have a link below as well. I'm very excited about this. So I hope you join me in this journey and try some of these peptides. Okay, so I'll have the link below, or you can go to sarahwestall.com under shop. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Sasha Ladapova coming to the program. She's really interesting. She's amazing, actually. She was a executive at Big Pharma in R&D, and she's been working with Catherine Watt, who is a legal has a legal background, and together they're putting amazing information together on what really happened during COVID. She did a report for Senator Ron Johnson and for Robert Kennedy Jr., which they have in their hands, and you're going to hear a lot about that today. You're also going to hear that the Constitution was suspended, so all the weird things that you saw. And how these court cases people weren't winning obvious court cases or things were being overturned. It's because they were claiming that the Constitution was suspended. So they were acting like we were at war. And so people like us are targets of war in the way that they were treating us. And still today, apparently, the Constitution is still suspended. So that's what we have going on is a bunch of yahoos running around in Congress with the suspended Constitution. And during J6, one of the judges put out there why the Sixth Amendment wasn't available to one of the, people on trial. She's going to explain this whole story. He said, because the Constitution was suspended. So there you go. There's just so much evidence of this. It's really sad. She's going to explain what happened, going to bring in the who, what's the deal, what she thinks about with the World Health Organization, us leaving that. She's going to bring in a lot of different elements. It's a really great conversation. But before I get into that, I want to share with you Masterpiece. I just did an interview with Matt Hazen, who is the CEO of Masterpiece, and then also Dr. Robert Young. And I got a video from the scientist in Europe who has been conducting the hair tests. They're doing clinical trials. Why I like these guys is they actually put their words into actions and prove that their stuff works. They're showing that how much it dramatically decreases heavy metals, microplastics, other toxins that we are bombarded with. And so this is great stuff, and they're proving it. They're not just saying it, and I love that. And so you have all these, some people who have been exposed to the fire, all the smoke and everything else that we're getting exposed to. I mean, we're getting dumped with stuff, not just from the skies and the chemtrails, but we're getting dumped from the, makeup and and all the different products that we're exposed to on a daily basis. So I highly recommend you get this. You can buy this at the link below or go to sarahwestall.com under shop. Okay, let's get into my really interesting conversation with Sasha Latipova. Hi, Sasha. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. You've come highly recommended. Everybody was telling me I need to get you on the show. And which is good. You have a lot of fans out there and a lot of actually you have a lot of respect, which is actually even the best, right? So I want to ask you, there's a lot of movement going on, with the new administration. There's also a lot that has come out over the years with all the research you and others have done. I think the most jaw-dropping thing that many people don't realize yet is just how closely involved the Department of Defense was to the entire rollout of the vaccine and the whole whatever agenda they had. Can you talk about what your research has found?
Right. So what most of the public doesn't realize is that COVID overall wasn't a public health event at all, and wasn't treated as public health event by the US law and most of the international law. I've traced with several colleagues, we've traced the legal structure that was utilized both in the US and, first of all, in the so-called Five Eye countries, which is, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, EU. And then, in addition, also coordination through NATO. So the laws that have been used to, declare a pandemic worldwide, was military law. And the event was treated as if it was a so-called seaborne attack or chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons attack.
Even though
But
they wouldn't admit that it was a biological weapon, they used the laws of a biological weapon to implement everything.
right. So as you've seen, only now the intelligence agencies admit that this was a some sort of a bioweapon, bioengineered virus, which is it's a second layer of lies, but let's address it a little bit later. The first layer of lies that was pushed on all of us for now, 5 years and counting, is that this was some sort of a zoonotically evolved virus that jumped from bat in a wet market. And I remember very distinctly that I was canceled on and banned on Twitter immediately when suggesting that this was a lie. So many other people were also, it was forbidden to say anything about a possibility that this was some sort of a chemical weapon or a weapon used, or even not a weapon, it's just them lying about it.
That's right.
Everyone was pushed this idea that this is a natural evolution of a virus, because too many people, like in other theories like climate change, too many people on the planet. So all these other fake theories were added on to justify that, yes, it was this dangerous virus evolved. And we were so prepared, our government was so prepared to make vaccines in, a weekend for it. So all this nonsense was pushed on people for years, brainwashing, propaganda from all media, mainstream media sources. Anybody who suggested otherwise were canceled
That's
immediately.
right.
The way to actually find the truth is a very good mechanism, is to look at the laws that are being utilized for everything, and then look at the court decisions and court filings, which is, my friend Catherine Watt, who also writes on Substack, she's traced a lot of the legal frameworks. And until I met her and until I read her materials, there were a lot of questions in my mind unanswered. I was looking more from the regulatory perspective, from what FDA was doing, because that's my background and I understand it better. And a lot of things didn't make sense to me. Their behavior was terrible. They were doing things that were extremely dangerous, putting public at extreme risk. And, we know a lot of people died and got injured because of their actions. And they're still continuing actually the same thing. So they haven't changed any behavior. So there was a question in my mind, how are they able to get away with all of this.
Yeah, and just keep
Yeah,
going, and nobody, it seems like the entire Congress, the entire world is allowing them to just be tyrants.
exactly. So the entire everyone was allowing them to be tyrants, to be continue pushing nonsense about well, the lockdowns, the not being able to treat people with the generic medicines. They prosecuted doctors. They're still prosecuting doctors for it. And so in my mind was, how are they able to get away with this? And then so it wasn't just the Congress. So the courts also, what Catherine Watt pointed out to me early on, she was following several court cases where the early on, you know, the mandate, the lockdowns, and then later mandates were questioned based on the constitutional grounds, saying, you know, the Constitution of the United States explicit about protecting the business owners, for example, from the government coming in and taking away their businesses through shutdown and lockdowns, right?
They've destroyed so many lives. Anyways, keep
It
going. It was
destroyed
so
economy.
frustrating.
It destroyed people's lives, people's businesses. So we have a constitution, a document that says explicitly government is not allowed to do that. Yet they were doing that. And so when the court, when somebody would like file a court case, even in those cases where the judge initially ruled based on constitutionality and said, yeah, that's BS, you should, you know, so ruled for the plaintiff, in about few weeks that ruling would be reversed. And subsequent to that,
You mean
all the
they would
courts,
appeal? Hold on, they would appeal it, and then the higher court would reverse it.
it wasn't even that. It looked like the this even in some cases the same judge reversed decision, strangely. And in other cases, there were appeals, but again, it was very quickly squashed. Like the early on, I guess what happened now in retrospect, we can say some of the courts received the notification that constitution is suspended. It is suspended, actually. And that's what Catherine, the conclusion that she arrived at. And other judges, maybe lower ranked or state or didn't know, and then somebody, you know, read them in. What we also found out that subsequent to that, all the courts refused to ever look at any constitutional on any of these cases as a constitutional. So they're not
So
allowed to.
they say that the Constitution has been frozen, that you can't use it anymore, and
Yeah,
that
so
because.
what I recently found, and this was on X. I can send you the link. I think the name of the journalist is Sarah Ferris, and I'm not following her very much, but she has quite a bit of following, and she was posting several stories about the J6 prisoners that now being pardoned. One of them wrote a very long, it's like a thread, which I read just yesterday. So I'm telling you what I found. And it's a long thread, and he explains his case, how everything went on, which is a complete atrocity. And this person who was arrested, he's actually himself a police officer.
Oh, geez.
So he knew like the rights and so forth. And at some point he writes that when he was detained, arrested, he read some ridiculous by U.S. Marshals. He was read some ridiculous allegations that he had to sign off on, and he had no choice. They took away all his business. It was a complete sort of just, I don't know,
They
without
took over
any.
his life. They just
Yeah, they took
completely.
over his life. He was charged with the trespass on the lawn. Okay, that's what he was charged with. Now, when he went for in front of the judge first, and he said, "Well, I have a constitutional right for a speedy trial and a fair trial, a Sixth Amendment." The judge explicitly says, and he named the judge in his thread, and the judge says the Sixth Amendment was suspended because of COVID-19. Now, you
That's
can't just
incredible.
suspend one amendment, right?
Well, and the other thing that's interesting is why would you suspend the entire Constitution for COVID-19 on a completely separate issue that has nothing to do with COVID-19?
Well, right.
You know what I
So,
mean? So this is like a tyrannical dictatorship is what we're in right now.
Yeah, it is a tyrannical dictatorship, and that's how they've been they initially started running this operation. So I can tell you exact date when they started running this operation. And by they, I mean, so the person who kind of pulled the trigger on the DoD side, his name is Colonel Matthew Hepburn. He was a DARPA at the time, or Defense Advanced Research something. So it's like a
Agency defense,
The
yeah.
agency, yeah. So he was at DARPA at the time. He made the phone call. I'm not saying he's like the mastermind of all of this, although he claims that he came up with the pandemic preparedness plan in public presentations. But he was the one who made a phone call to the on February 4th, 2020, to a pharmaceutical consortium that he had set up previously, starting around well, at least I have evidence that that consortium was already in place in 2017.
It was after the
And
PREP Act. It was
So the consortium of pandemic preparedness of these pharmaceutical companies and all kinds of medical device companies, they number in the hundreds. They probably had some group that was, I don't know, a dozen companies, 20 companies, I don't know how many exactly, that were ostensibly working on so-called pan influenza vaccine. And this started at least in 2017, maybe earlier. And I have a audio recording. I have a video of it, but I only released an audio recording of AstraZeneca two high-level executives talking about this. One is their CEO, Pascal Soriot. And the other one is VP of monoclonal antibodies, Mark Esser. And they're discussing in an executive meeting how this whole thing transpired from 2017 when they were approached by DARPA to become part of this consortium. And at that time, what's interesting, Mark Esser says something like, "I thought it was science fiction." Well, because Mark Esser, being an experienced drug developer, knows that this is science fiction he's being asked to do. So that was his first reaction. But then he somehow says, "Oh no!" But then I realized that this is really possible. It's possible to develop these completely novel these mRNA or adenovirus or whatever the monoclonal antibodies within 60 days or even sooner. When so what DARPA was telling them in 2017, specifically Matt Hepburn, that we the DoD will identify novel viruses as they evolve, right? And you, the pharma, will be making drugs and vaccines for them within 60 days of us providing you the code. And that to which Mark Esser's reaction was, it's science fiction. And
Is right. So what is
he's
he still
right.
around? I mean, what did he end
Mark
up
Esser,
doing?
I think he's still working for AstraZeneca, yes. And Pascal Soriot is still the CEO of AstraZeneca. And then further on in this recording, which I have, it's like 6 minute recording, they're saying, "Oh yeah," and then so the then but then we realized that it was all great because, of course, because the money from the DoD is very good and convincing, and then they started working on this for a while, for several years. That was great. DoD gives them grants, no particular deliverables. They get to play science, and then in he said on February 4th, we received a phone call from DARPA, telling us that COVID has been declared a national security threat. And this is, I remind you, a full month before a pandemic was announced. And Trump signed off on Stafford Act declaration for all 50 states and put FEMA in charge for some reason in as a lead agency. But here we have DARPA calling pharmaceutical consortium, telling them it's a national security threat. Switch you from influenza to COVID.
We pulled the trigger, guys. This is what we're giving you all the money for. Now you better do, yeah. Now you better pay back.
So and now so we see this not only that, then I also noted there were a bunch of DoD press conferences from Pentagon. They're still up online, and I've written several articles about it. Other colleagues have written articles about it. We have full transcripts, and I have all these videos, and some of them are I mean, hysterical if it wasn't so just so terrible what they did. But they announce. Yeah, it was an episode on March 5th. Again, this is still before the formal pandemic announcement. On March 5th, there is a Pentagon press conference with several people. The General Talley is their lead spokesperson. Then there is Colonel Wendy Sammons Jackson. There is Dr. Michaels and these are from Fort Detrick and from U.S. Army Medical Research. And there's another person from who's a liaison with WHO there. And they're all talking about, so specifically, Colonel Wendy Sammons Jackson says on March 5th, we have received the pathogen, meaning SARS-CoV-2 virus, and we are growing it, making stalks of it. And yeah, that's her exact words. I clipped it. I've been, posting it everywhere. So she's saying on March 5th, when there are no real cases in the US, I don't know, CDC claimed around 200 cases, like PCR cases, but no clarity as to were there illnesses or anything. There was a person in Washington State, one person from which they claim they've derived this pathogen. Again, nobody knows whether the person existed or not. And then she says we're growing stocks of it. So when we have no virus in the United States, for some reason DoD creates way more virus. And then after that, that's when the cases started skyrocketing. So she announces a deployment of a chemical weapon, the fact that they're making it, and then we have cases and illness and death.
Interesting. So from a court standpoint, that would be something that you could, that's pretty solid evidence.
It is solid evidence. And what all I'm asking is, can Congress interview Colonel Hepburn? Can Congress interview Colonel Sammons Jackson? Ask them what did she mean by this? Where did this? We also know that the DoD awarded a contract to Protein Sciences to grow the stocks of SARS-CoV-2. So I'd like to know why did they do it when there were no virus in the United States really to speak of? And what happened with those stocks afterwards? Where did they go?
That's right.
That's
Where did they go? What's going on here?
well, yeah.
Are you seeing any kind of serious investigation into the Department of Defense activity, into this whole activity? Or is it just we're in this twilight zone?
We're in the twilight zone. Everyone pretends on both sides of the aisle. I'm accusing both Democrats, Republicans, everyone in Congress right now. That doesn't. So, by the way, I have my colleague Catherine and I. We have prepared the package of most of these materials. I mean, we've since then collected more, but at the time, December 2022, we had sufficient evidence to demonstrate this is a military operation. The military framework was used, and then the public was lied to. As if it's a public health event. And so we've compiled this material on request of Senator Johnson of Wisconsin. Senator Johnson, actually, his staffers set up a Zoom call with me and Catherine and a few other people. And he asked us, can you put together a memo for me and the package of evidence, which we've done. And it's a two-page memo describing this, describing what laws have been utilized, and a 700-megabyte attachment file. I've published all of this and sent it to him in December 2022. Nothing happened after that. Nothing happened. As you know, he held several hearings before and after. And to give him credit, he invited me to one, but I couldn't make the schedule. But he's held several hearings with very high profile, so-called freedom leaders, discussing how public health response was botched, while this wasn't a public health anything, and he knows it.
And do you think he is just doesn't have the power? I mean, he's just one
He's yeah, he
man.
doesn't have a power to do anything. But I'm just giving example of, this is a person in Congress who is sympathetic and understands all of this, and he can't do anything about it.
Yeah, he seems like he was the best. He was trying to do stuff, but it's like it takes more than one person. If he doesn't have any support, it really puts him at risk.
Right. So it takes more than one person. I give him a lot of credit for calling attention to the victims of this. I'm very grateful that he gave any attention to this. But this wasn't a secret. We've published it many times. I gave it to him. I gave this information to RFK Jr. too. I have a podcast with him recorded, two podcasts actually. And he knows all this also. Now, but it's still the public perception is being manned, and I don't know what he's going to do about it. Like the confirmation hearings are starting tomorrow. He still needs to be confirmed. But what happens right now is the public opinion is getting managed back into this box of this was a public health event and this was a public health response. Some mistakes were made, some overreach. Let's fix those things. But they won't not do anything about the castle. The castle is these laws that they're using, these essentially military martial law that they have pulled. They've suspended the constitution. They haven't unsuspended it yet. I haven't seen any evidence of this. Doing
It's not
executive
even,
orders.
you can't, the Constitution can't be suspended.
I
There's
know.
nothing in the Constitution that allows them to suspend the Constitution.
But
It's so crazy. How can they do that?
they've written a mountain of law to do exactly this, starting even maybe in 1800s. So also my friend Catherine started going back and tracing all these legal changes specifically around the vaccines. Even going back to the 1700s, and you can see how this like machine is morphing, and meaning the federal government, which the Constitution actually is the document that limits the federal government very severely, right? But they've done since late 1700s or even mid 1800s, they've done the c complete opposite of it. So now the federal government is everything, pretty much. And what they've done in this last episode is they further merged the power of separate federal agencies that are supposed to be separate, supposed to be separately, constrained and regulated. They're not. So they've since then merged 11 federal agencies into what's called PEMC. It's a pandemic enterprise. It's called pandemic enterprise. It was established in 2011 or 12. I forget exact date. And this is the body that kind of drives this whole pandemic exercise and extracts money out of it to themselves and power to themselves.
To
And
themselves. So do you, have you seen, have you tracked where the money all flowed?
where the money flows. Well, so I've looked very specifically into the COVID contracts for everything. Mostly I was focused on vaccines, but there were hundreds and hundreds of contracts given to a variety of corporations for both vaccines, drugs, anything related to COVID, even propaganda. So consulting firms like McKinsey and Boston Consulting Group received huge contracts, like billion-dollar contracts, to create all the propaganda.
And do you think that's how it worked? They just kind of bribed everybody?
Yes. So I have also spoken to Catherine Austin Fitz. If you know, she's she writes more about finance and global this money stealing operation. That's what they did. They essentially stopped all the economy. So this was a redirecting. This was creating what she calls tsunami of money out of nothing, based on this faked pretense. Then stopping the real economy, which is like real businesses, but via lockdown, so preventing them from doing any business and create. And so this is where you like,
Create value. You create value
yeah,
by
we
doing
create value.
that.
So you stop those channels of money flow. You create these other completely fake channels that are controlled by you and by your buddies, and you print $2 trillion dollars and you shove it through that channel instead of and prevent it from flowing here. That's exactly what they did.
Quick break to remind you that you need to protect your assets. We're in a period of financial instability. The markets, the entire world is resetting. There is an attack on our dollar. We will be seeing change like we haven't seen in maybe hundreds of years. The whole geopolitical chessboard is shifting around, and you want to protect your assets with gold and silver. The central bankers are accumulating gold and silver like never before. The prices have been manipulated and suppressed. It is never more important to secure your assets by getting into gold and silver. And I use Miles Franklin. Why? Because they are the best in the industry. They give you the best prices and they give you the best service. Many companies out there charge you premiums over 10% and they do not give you anywhere near the service that you're going to get from Miles Franklin. If you tell them Sarah sent you, you email them at info@milesfranklin.com. Tell them that I sent you. Tell them Sarah sent you and they will give you a private price list. What you see on the internet is not what you can get if you email them and tell them that I sent you and you want access to their private price list because they can't advertise these prices to the world because it's their competitive advantage. Okay, make sure you send an email to info@milesfranklin.com and tell them that Sarah sent you and you want access to that private price list. Okay, let's get back into the show. It couldn't be more diabolical. I mean, I don't, it's so bad. It's just so bad what they did. And the more people that understand, the better. But it just seems like nothing is ever going to happen. And you're saying that everything is still in place. Now, what do you think about the United States leaving the WHO,
Well,
World Health Organization?
this whole thing about the WHO, in my opinion, it's more of a show mechanism. So they want the WHO to then point finger at. So like when they're doing something illegal here and unconstitutional here, they want to point the finger at some other place and say, well, I was just following guidelines from the WHO. So for example, they did this with vaccine, where I noticed this first is I was early on looking into how is it possible for them to put these extremely dangerous mRNA products. I knew about it because I'm from pharma business, and I could not believe when they said that these are going to be prophylactic vaccines. I was like, are you kidding? It's like giving everyone chemo on steroids and calling it a prophylactic vaccine. It's just as dangerous. And anyway,
And is it
so.
pretty common knowledge that that's true, what you just said?
Any honest drug professional would know it. Like for example,
Okay.
I don't know if you know Dr. Mike Eden. He was like the
Yep.
first in pharma who spoke up about it. And there's still like only a handful of us that ever stood up and said, "You guys are just out of your mind." So he was the one who, like in December 2020, wrote a letter to European Medicines Agency listing all the mechanisms of harm that you can expect from this product by just looking at the design of this product. And it's not even his area. He did not work in biologics either. I don't come from biologics, but when you know to look at the drug and its design, you know what it is.
It
So
should have been obvious to the
it's
people working
obvious.
in,
It should
yeah.
have been obvious to everyone. And so I was terrified. I was like, what are they doing? And then some documents were FOIA'd from by Judicial Watch from HHS, the documentation on animal toxicology studies, and I was looking at those and I was expecting a better. So, again, coming from drugs, I never worked in vaccines. I was expecting certain batteries of tests to be done for safety because I was also coming from drug safety. And I was expecting, cardiovascular, the pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, the CNS testing, the reproductive toxicology testing, all sorts of safety tests. Most of them are not done. And then there is an explanation. So they're saying, there's a chapter for these tests and it says these were not done. And I was like, okay. And then there's an explanation and it says they were waived because of the WHO guidelines for vaccines from 2005.
Well,
So, yeah.
okay, so we don't, what happened in the United States, it was not because of the WHO. We did it on ourselves. But what
We
about
did
all
it
these,
on, yes.
but what about
Yeah.
Europe and all these other countries?
Same thing there. So in the like where WHO WHO guidelines apply much more, or whatever WHO says applies much more, is the countries that are not Five Eyes countries and sort of smaller, African than in other nations. But for the US and for the major, for the EU, Canada, and so forth, these countries already have all those laws on their national laws. So international laws, such as, whatever WHO comes up with, they don't even have any jurisdiction. They're just an advisory body. But whatever, let's say an international law somebody came up with, and let's say we signed up to it, the international law is not enforceable. There's no body, extraplanetary body that can come in and like enforce the international law.
Unless
It's
they
the
pass that
national.
treaty, right? And unless they sign into the treaty and do something stupid
But
like that.
even in the treaty, even treaties are kind of like fake. Again, they're made to then come back and justify to the local population their own laws on the books, claiming that that's imposed via the international treaty. So it's a mechanism to just point the finger at something, we need to save the planet, whatever this disease, and then say, oh, and therefore all these national laws that we have here are, we have to enforce them.
Well,
And you can't really challenge it because, we have like this
it
big
gives them
treaty.
an out of to not be in. So, one thing that I noticed is that the Global Economic Forum or the World Economic Forum had a we're going to reset the world. It was right after COVID hit the scene, right? And they had this website saying we're going to reset the world based on COVID. And it was like a 200 level deep website that with COVID right in the middle. And saying it's going to reset it. It was a target. And then all these little points that you keep clicking down, and it's like everything in the world you could think of that could be reset based on COVID, right? And this was right away. So you know that they planned that because there's it was physically impossible to create a website that quickly. So who was coordinating the world response to, they want to point at who and say the who was coordinating that world, because obviously everybody in the world moved in lockstep. So who was coordinating that world response? Were you able to pinpoint that?
Right. So again, for the Five Eye countries, and by the way, we'll publish more on this shortly. Is the, for the Five Eye countries, we've traced that the legal framework, this pandemic preparedness, EUA countermeasures, which are these military medical countermeasures. So all this, kind of pandemic preparedness and response for the Five Eyes countries is nearly identical. They all have the same exact law, the same exact language, and it's coordinated through the military of each country. And they even call it something like, oh, and in addition to the military, it's all the federal agencies. They call it whole of government response. In fact, in the Pentagon pressers, they repeat this phrase, whole of government, whole of government. Whole, yeah, like I even clipped it into one clip. They repeat it dozens of times throughout the whole press conferences. And the same language is used in all these other countries, in Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand. If you go on those websites and you read those documents, it's all the same. It's whole of government. We have stakeholders, which is all like federal agencies, and it's all run through the military. It's called military medical countermeasures. We're prepared for pandemics. We're prepared for all these attacks. We can make vaccines and biologics in like hours after we identify the virus. And all this, the same language. The only thing that's different in the US is the PREP Act. Other countries don't have it, but they, in effect, make it through other mechanisms. But, the PREP Act in the US is particularly awful. Because it completely exempts anyone, not just the pharma companies and like medical device or whatever manufacturers, but anyone who does anything with the medical countermeasure, as long as they follow HHS's orders. So, all the doctors who have pushed remdesivir on people and who have killed people in the hospital with ventilators are completely exempt. From the, and this is explicit, it says regardless how many people you kill or injure,
I know.
so they're completely exempt. But the ones who didn't, the ones who spoke up against it, the ones who pushed back, they are open to liability, and the government comes after them.
Yeah, they're under a microscope. This side is protected and they're killing people left and right. People are dying all over the place, right? These guys are trying to had much better results. And if anybody dies on this side, they're going after them. That I've seen that in general, and that is, it couldn't be more absurd.
And they also like class people like me and you, anybody who speaks up about it, we're misinformation. We're misinformation agents. They even go as far as to label us, the enemies of the state because we are questioning the government's orders here, and we're
We're
questioning
being
what the
good
government is.
people. We're doing our jobs
We're doing
as
our
a
job.
citizen of the world and of our country, trying to do what's right for people, and we are being attacked for it,
Yeah,
which
we're being
is
attacked, right? We're being canned. We're being like people
canned,
lose
yeah.
their jobs. They get banned. I'm banned on LinkedIn now, even though
So am
I've
I. Join the club. You're the second person now that I know, me and you.
I've been a pharma professional. I have like 5,000 connections. I've been on LinkedIn for 20 some years, and they banned me. Why? Because I've shared my articles from Substack.
Yep. I shared an article saying that immune con informed consent was taken away by the FDA, and I showed the actual what do you call it? Thing that they what do you call it? Mandate. It's not mandate. Their thing, the FDA posted, and I used their exact words, and they took me down. And I said, well, you this is true, because and I showed them the exact, I showed them the links, everything else. I'm using their language. And so they put that back up, and then they flagged everything under the sun. And I'm like, what? And then they claim that I'm selling unregulated or advertising or selling unregulated services. I'm like, well, can't we sell? Are baseball caps unregulated? I mean, it just makes no sense.
I mean, yeah, they do this, and they want to eliminate us, and they want to eliminate sort of, well, I know that early on they went after, I was nobody on social media. I didn't have any social, I never had Facebook. I don't have, I had Instagram where I was collecting art. Like art is my hobby, and I just
Yeah.
had like artists that I follow, and I had a nice collection of things. They canceled it. They banned it. I can never have a Instagram anymore.
I know. I've been canceled everywhere. I have an unpersoned article that showed all the places I was canceled. It actually is very effective, because I think LinkedIn is worse than being canceled elsewhere, because now you can't even, if you're in theory, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's, for me, it's not as bad as elsewhere. Like YouTube is probably the worst from a monetary standpoint and exposure. But from a, in theory, LinkedIn is the worst. Like if I wanted to get out of this industry, they're trying to destroy us, right? So if I wanted to get out of this industry and do something else, and I think you're pretty self-sufficient now and things, but if I wanted to do something else and get another job, banning me from LinkedIn bans me from the whole professional world that I was part of.
So me with I can't I have 5,000 industry connections from many, many years back, but now I'm depersoned there. I can't even go yeah go to if I have if what if I need a job? I might need a job in the future in my industry, and I can't even show people, oh, I have a profile,
Yeah, and the equivalent of it is like if you're in real life, it's like not being able to actually apply for jobs or not being able to actually speak at a meeting, those kinds of things. You're just like not allowed to participate in civil life because everything has moved to the internet. And so that kind of, it's a weird abuse that a lot of people don't understand, but it's very abusive.
It is, and it's again part of this whole sort of military structure, PEMC slash National Security Council structure, because they're conducting it as war.
That's
And
right.
part of the pandemic or public health emergency law structure, the main part is it's announced as a national, first of all, as a national thing, and the reason they say whole of government, blah, 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 all of this is says we are responding to whatever that is, even though it's a faked event, we're responding to it as if it's war. And during war, So they're invoking all these things that they can theoretically do during war, especially on the US soil.
Yeah, so we
So
are war, we are targets for war. They're
we're
taking us
targets for
out
war.
with no thinking of what's going on based on a fake event, which is,
Based on a fake event.
I want you to talk about this fake event, because while there was hot spots that I think something happened, which maybe you can talk about, but overall, I downloaded all the CDC numbers, and this was back in 2022. And there was no statistical increase in deaths. And then I went back and I downloaded it 3 months later. And all those numbers for most of the months starting when COVID started, all from when COVID started, they changed them to match a bad curve. I'm like, and that was after 100% reporting. Like, that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah, so we, right, the there was no so people need to understand that the mortality and morbidity data are separate. Like, you have to assess them separately. Now, as far as the deaths, it's true. A total all-cause mortality indicates that there was no pandemic, and there was some good statistical analysis have been done both for the U.S. and internationally demonstrating this.
Well,
So
it
what?
was if you look at the new CDC numbers that they fixed. I don't know
Well,
if you
yeah,
saw that. If you look at the
they
original, it really proves out what you're saying. Anyways, keep
right.
going.
So the and people have published on it. We know that mortality, especially before they started implementing all these COVID murder protocols in the hospitals, we know that there is nothing. There's nothing before Colonel Wendy Simmons Jackson says we're growing the virus. Absolutely nothing. It's just, flat curve on the bottom at zero. And then right after her announcement, they start increasing. And but yeah, by all-cause mortality assessments, you can't say there was anything unusual. But then for morbidity, the data is very, very complicated. And I myself believe that something was used. And because I also, got ill in 2022. So I wasn't ill in the first, but I simultaneously with my husband, we became ill within hours in 2022. And it was so distinct and so unusual, and it wasn't even a cough or respiratory, that we knew that it was a poisoning. And I treated it as a poisoning, and it took me like a couple of weeks to recover, but I was fine after that.
Yeah, it seemed like there were certain spots that they did something to trigger this whole event. And then the rest of it was just using the flu and maybe whatever the cold normally is. And
And also, people need to remember, this is not very widely publicized today, but it was known quite a bit in the medicine, that about, depending on the situation and depending on the fear factor, between, let's say, 10 and 20% of the population, even higher if you propagandize them more, are highly suggestible. And you can induce illness by just telling people they're going to be ill.
that's
So a
the
lot of
nocebo effect.
placebo effect is extremely powerful. A lot of
The
people,
nocebo effect, which is the placebo set effect negative.
a lot of people just by, so a lot of contagious disease, or let's say respiratory, seasonal respiratory illness, can be explained, at least 10% of it can be explained by, you went to work, somebody was sick there, you thought you were gonna sick, you came home and you became sick because you convinced yourself. And so it's that simple. Now, so when there is this media splashing all these messages about scary, zoonotic jump from Wuhan, a bunch of people are susceptible, especially because everyone was for decades pre-programmed with sci-fi about the Outbreak movie, the Contagion movie, the all these other stories, and so everybody believes it. And not, then it comes, and of course, large percentage of the population starts freaking out. In addition to that, I also watched presentations by DOD. They have this propagandist, James Giordano, and he also explained how DOD has a playbook to fake pandemics. in 2017 in a lecture, he tells the cadets at West Point, I think, that here's how we do it. Here's you know, or here's as well, the bad guys can do it this way.
Yeah, I included that specific clip that you're talking about in a conference that I did, a conference presentation. How you fake a pandemic, you give the wrong protocols to a hospital, is what he said. And then you end up bringing the whole that whole community or city or whatever to its knees.
Yes, that's one
I'm
of the methods.
paraphrasing.
Yeah, and in another presentation, he says specifically, we or they can distribute a drug, a non-lethal agent, a drug. Well, a drug is it's a chemical, okay? So they can deploy some sort of a chemical to produce weird symptoms, like with this COVID was this bizarre loss of taste and smell. So weird symptoms, so that you know they're not lethal. We ourselves don't get hit, or the bad guys don't get hit so much. We know that this is not lethal, and you can treat it. But then we tell everyone, oh, it's the evidence of these like really, really scary bioengineered viruses. So
That's what
again,
happened. That's what happened. You know, I'm on the fence with Giordano because he's like sharing things. You can learn a lot from listening to him. And it's clearly I'm not naive, but he's not the super villain. He's the one out in front sharing things, and you can learn a lot from him.
Well, I don't know. I
Behind the
mean,
scenes are who's implementing all this stuff. I am by no means advocating for him. I'm just not sure. He doesn't see, I'm not sure who the real bad guys are here. He
I am not
clearly
saying
works
he.
for him.
Yeah, I'm not saying he is the mastermind. Again, they have a lot of communicators
That's it.
that will say stuff like this to legitimize it, as if, well, you know, they want to do a lot of this limited hangout kind of stuff where they say, well, but we told you, you weren't for. I mean, I was the good guy. I was like discussing how this can be done and what we do to prevent this from happening. But again, it's like, if you see one person at the scene of the fire all the time, are they the firefighter or are they the arsonist? I mean, sometimes it's
That's
hard
right.
to, you
That
know.
well, that's right. Yeah, you don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what's going on there. It's pretty strange. I'm so glad you're bringing all this stuff up because it's so true. Where do you think? I mean, do you think people will actually go for it? And we do know that there's a certain group that get all their boosters. I mean, they're just hardcore, and they're all. I think their health. Most people that I know of who are getting all their boosters really have. Their health is deteriorating. They're not focusing on the important things. But then I'm on X and somebody, jokes like somebody posted something complex. It was one of the funniest jokes I've heard. Somebody posted something complex and everybody's like, "Well, explain this to me." And one guy goes, "Explain it to me like I've gotten five booster shots." Like I'm a moron and you need to do it in detail. And so I mean, it's just a common out there that people think but it's two camps. Do you think they could get away with doing this again?
I think pulling what they've pulled with COVID, probably not. I think a lot of people, even when they the booster uptake right now, even though there are those people that do get, you know, 5, 10 boosters, they do exist, the overall uptake is really low. Which and a lot of people are kind of silent about it and trying to pretend it didn't happen and move along with their lives and, you know, think, well, now it's everything fine. But in fact, you know, if it's pushed on them again, will refuse, likely refuse, because they understand what happened and they've seen, you know, I have people who now, you know, were out of touch, but then coming back now, and while they don't necessarily discuss this head on, they also sometimes mention, oh, so and so got stroke or so and so got cancer. Yeah, so which means to me, it says they understand that this is dangerous, at least. They might not get all the details. And
Well, go ahead. I was going to say, Steve Kirsch just put something out. I mean, these kinds of things are so ridiculous. Steve Kirsch put something out showing that the people who have, that now we have undeniable proof that the people who actually got the jab have gotten COVID more than the people who haven't. So now we have this jab that's creating all these illnesses, deaths, destruction, and they're also getting COVID more. which is the cold.
Yeah, I mean, I think
How
by getting,
bad could
yeah.
it be? You know, how much more stupid does it have to be before we, you know, we're just everybody just says enough.
I think people are kind of still shell-shocked and in disbelief. And a lot of it is they have, you know, it's dangerous to fall for these propaganda ops, very dangerous from the human mind perspective. It's very similar to like when people are in a cult, like a very
That's right.
strange cult, right? Very hard for them to unprogram themselves, even if they want to leave, or maybe they understand something is not right, but it's very hard for them to disconnect. Why? Because again, of this suggestibility. So people essentially hypnotize themselves through this mechanism into this mind state where you may have also experienced this. Some people are so brainwashed and so hypnotized that if you tell them something against the vaccines, that this is dangerous, that this is killing people, they have a violent reaction.
They
They
do.
have
It's like Plato's cave.
they have a violent reaction because you are threat like it's as if you're threatening their core of who they are.
That's right.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, and it's a spectrum. Some people are less and some people are more, but we have to recognize that the reason why we're in disbelief and we're like, how can this be not so obvious? And I know Steve Kirsch has been going at the data for forever, and is getting not very far.
It's just crazy. I know it's crazy to have not get very far, but I know that the reason they have to ban people like us and silence us as much as humanly possible from their perspective without it being so obvious is because just having people like us say something contrary screws up their ability to do the mass manipulation. Because
Exactly.
we
It's
are the antidote by,
we're the antidote. We can snap people out of it. With this messaging, we're interrupting that mind control that they have installed in everyone by words. I'm not saying there's any technology being installed. It's a combination of just plain poisoning with variety of mechanisms in it, which if you're poisoned, your mental function goes down. And then the repeated messaging and words that they repeat to the people and make people repeat themselves.
Just over
That's
and over. Yeah.
how mind control works.
I think why
And it works
I'm
really
really,
well.
it does, my gosh. And then they've have more sophisticated techniques now, but I'm really, really disappointed in the medical field. Like there's doctors that they're heroes because they broke out of it and risked their profession and their life and everything else. But the majority of them, I'm just so disappointed in the entire field of medicine. I mean, I can't, I just can't get past it. I can't get past, I'm just being honest here. I can't get past how disappointed I am in the field of medicine that they can't look at data and self-correct when there's lives on the line. I just don't understand that. You know, that's
Yeah,
pretty powerful mind control.
it's pretty powerful mind control. It's interesting that you mentioned last night until like midnight. I was reading a book from 140 years ago, written by a doctor. I think he's a British doctor, Dr. Dolan, who was writing. He was commenting on Pasteur and Pasteur's propaganda of rabies. First of all, rabies being viral illness. And propagandizing everyone and creating commission to push these anti-rabies shots that he was making that were killing people. And so Dr. Dolan wrote a book actually putting a lot of statistics, which were hard to collect. They were hand-collected statistics from France and Britain and even some from Russia that he obtained, and explaining how, first of all, this illness that Pasteur was telling, it's as if Pasteur wrote the COVID protocol, or playbook of this COVID pandemic.
Wow. Yeah.
First of all, so he was explaining how rabies is very rare, extremely rare, and this was in the 1800s. And he said, you know, the primary cause is mistreatment of dogs, and then the dogs, you know, become fearful and become aggressive and attack, and And so he said, you know, that's number one cause. Even with the, you know, rampant mistreatment of dogs, the rabies cases, real cases, extremely rare. He summarized his own practice from 40 years and other people's 30, 40 year practice, saying each physician himself saw maybe one or two cases in his entire career. The total mortality for rabies, even slightly overblown in the entire country of France, was like 10 to 20 people a year. In Britain, same. But Pasteur went around and said, this is such a dangerous disease. We need to have government commission on it. So why for 10, 20 cases a year? You need entire government commission. Then he made up fake statistics about both about mortality. So it was like he designed instructions for Corman and Drosten to write their stupid paper on COVID with PCR, except he didn't have PCR at the time. He just made it all up. He said, oh, it's 100% lethal, which is it's not. It's totally prevented by my shots, which statistics at that time indicated it only increased after his shots were rolled out.
Yeah.
And not only it
Same
increased,
thing.
he created a new form of rabies, a paralytic
Oh,
rabies, which did not exist before his shots. So
jeez. So I mean, yeah, that's exactly that is. And then did he make a fortune on it?
of course, and there were Pasteur institutes everywhere, in all these countries. There was a British hydrophobia committee, because before Pasteur created rabies, paralytic rabies, it was hydrophobia. It was a somewhat different disease, actually.
Wow, that's an incredible story. I mean, those are the kind of, it seems like we're just lacking some basic common sense to us, and the only way they get away with it is through this mind control stuff, because
Yes.
it's just common sense, guys. Wake up. Come on, we need you to
Yeah,
wake
it's common
up.
sense. And what I find, wonderful in Dr. Dolan's book, and it transcends the time because it is so true. He was absolutely upset about it. He said that these guys, like Pasteur was a chemist, and there were some other ones who were just, just scientists. He said they roll in with their chemical kits, and they override us, the clinicians who've practiced 40 years treating actual people. And they
Is that
ignore the
familiar?
actual people. And he said, and they push these medicines that they've cooked up that they don't understand anything about, and they make themselves arbiters of life and death.
That's
And
exactly what's going on.
I'm like, 140 years ago, they had sane doctors.
That's exactly what's going on. It couldn't be more obvious to people who are willing to can get out of that construct, right? Thank you so. You need to be followed. People need to follow you. Your work is amazing. Where can they follow you?
So my primary platform is Substack now. So I write articles. I do have some videos. I mean, I'll post this video though also. I have some videos and some audio podcasts, but mostly it's long form articles with all the evidence and links and information you can find there.
Great stuff.
You can follow me on Substack, just search my name, or the publication is called Due Diligence and Art.
Thank you so much for joining the program, and thank you for everything that you're doing. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sarah. Sorry about the last time,
Oh, that's okay. This is great. Thank you.
but thank you.